with another episode of Café con Chisme on the Delicious Vinyl radio station powered by Dash. I'm Yaz.
And I'm Seb. And we're so excited to be back with another episode for you. We have a lot to talk about today. We have a special guest coming on a little bit later in the show. But let's start with some check-ins. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I'm surviving. I am super, super excited to share that I'm involved in a lot of committees at work. So I
Busy
have
bee.
A lot going on in that sense, but I also have a lot going on outside, and I can't really share too much about what is happening in the community, and I'm sorry this check-in is super vague, but as I continue establishing a little bit more of like this event that I'm trying to put together, I will be in search of volunteers and folks who are down to be a part of it. So please hold for more information. Also, my book club is on March 24th.
She reads.
So if you're hearing this, it's Monday and it's already happened. But it's
Oh, that's right. It's this weekend.
This Sunday. I hope you read the book.
I am reading the book.
You're going to read the book.
I'm in the process of.
Yeah. So the book is actually about trauma, family trauma, and surviving and ending the cycle, right? So I'm excited about that. We're going to have a really cute conversation on Sunday. And yeah, other than that, we're prepping for Seb's celebration.
I know. We haven't really talked about it on here.
No. I mean, Seb's having a birthday party. Seb's having a graduation party.
Yes.
And so...
everyone's invited. No, I'm kidding.
That's fucked up because it's not true. No. What I enjoy doing for party planning is like to make the details cute. Mm-hmm. So right now we're making paper flowers so that Seb's decorations are on point and we're trying to be cost effective.
Yaz is like a really, you're so amazing at like looking up, like getting all the tools, all the materials, like you do your studying, your Pinterest boards. And I'm just like, honestly, because when we were younger, I would like be the one helping wrapping gifts, like this kind of stuff. And I feel like now you're like party planner, like certified.
Thank you so much.
So I'm excited because I feel like I have ideas and I'm like, Yaz, what about this? She's like, no, we're actually doing it this way. Here, I've already bought everything. I already have everything prepared.
But you are adding a lot of your own ideas. I don't want to sound like a tyrant because I am not.
You're not. And I never said those words.
But you're like, I have an idea. And you're like, shut up. Seb has some cute... Okay, so basically what I'm going to tell you is we're going to take pictures of all the decorations and we're going to put them on the Instagram so that you all can just indulge in the beauty that is my decorating.
Just on Instagram.
And my DIY decorations. I'm about to make it a business.
You're like so versatile. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I'm sorry, Wack.
You have so many different talents. Like she cooks...
She reads.
She reads. She plans. I don't know what else. I mean, you do a lot of other things.
Right. She twerks. She turns it out. I do what I can with what I got.
Like, who's that lady?
Who's that lady? Okay, no. Oh. She sings. Too.
And she surprises herself at her vocal talents. Look at her shine so bright.
Dead. Okay, Seb, what are your check-ins for this week?
My check-ins are I got an email today that had a flyer with the classes that I'm going to be teaching in the fall.
That is really exciting.
Like, they're on the books. Wow. Students, I think they can enroll in them now.
So they have, like, the class descriptions up?
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
So I was like, oh, fuck, this is really happening. Yeah. This is not a dress rehearsal. It is showtime.
This is not a drill.
No, but it's exciting. And what else? Yeah, the party's coming up soon. So I got my look this week for the party.
And where are we going?
It's a surprise.
Okay.
Until the day of.
Okay.
But I mean, you know what it is.
No, I do.
Actually, did I send you a picture?
You didn't, but okay. You just explained it to me on the phone.
I'll show it to you after this is done.
You're gonna blow them away.
I let's not too much build up.
No.
Well, because it's not done yet, and so
I know, but you will.
I need to get some pieces still. Okay. In any case,
we're gonna take you to Max. You can get your makeup done.
Should I get my head polished?
We're gonna buy $40 worth of things at Max. You can get your eyelashes.
And that's how you call partying on a budget. Party planning on a budget.
I'm dead. We're gonna get you a Hummer limo. The hall's like down the street, and you can go to a block.
What if we had like a parade from the house to the hall?
The longest velvet carpet or something.
Just like a little parade. Just like, you know, like a quinceañera kind of, or a wedding where they do like the procession.
All the cars. I'm dead.
I'm sure the white folks in East Whittier would love
like,
that.
What is that?
Guess that's all.
Pissed.
Anyway, so yeah. So should we jump in? We're like totally like
okay.
loosey-goosing it today. We're relaxed. We don't give a fuck. Just kidding. We're professionals.
We
have a plan. Not poppers. The gays, that's something else for the gays.
That's ooh. What I mean. We're loosey-goosey. I know what I'm talking about.
You do. Let's jump in, yeah?
Let's jump in with both patas.
Okay. Knee deep, head first. So your legs are sticking.
I'm like, what is that contortion is?
So you're like in it. Okay. Okay, some news stories. We have a few. We actually should hurry because we do have some news stories to get through.
Okay, let's do it, right.
First one, let's get into it. So AOC is in the news this week.
AOC.
I mean, she's always in the news, but she's under, not attack. They're making fun of her, and here's why. Laura Ingraham, who's some white lady who has a show on Fox, surprise, surprise, had this conservative lawyer whose name is Joe DiGenova, I think, or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. He's not important. Neither is she.
Of course.
However, they were talking about AOC, and the Laura Ingraham turns to her guest, which is this lawyer guy, and she's like, something about like, oh, she does the Latina thing, and how she says her name. Or no, he said that. And then he says Anastasio Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she was like, oh, I love, ooh, she's like, I love how that sounds. Because he said it with like a Spanish accent. And then he said his name in like a hyper Italian accent because he's Italian and his name is Joe DiGenova or whatever. And I'm sitting, you know, so this is like whatever. And then she says, oh, yeah, she's doing the Obama thing because Obama would put on different accents like when he spoke to different people. He also, like, to talk about Obama, got a lot of shit for...
Code switching
when he'd be like in front of predominantly like black audience, uh-huh. or they would say things like he's so articulate because the assumption is that black men are not, mm-hmm. right? So it's, I think we've talked about that on the show before. In any case, I want to pull up her responses because they were so good. Actually, I lagged, so I'm just going to summarize it for you. What she said, she went on Twitter. You can check her Twitter, AOC's Twitter, and she goes through it, right? Like breaking down, you know, if you mean by the Latina thing, you mean putting in the work and like standing by it rather than just talking about it and not doing anything. Mm-hmm. She's like, then yes, I'm doing the Latina thing.
Yes.
And then she's like, and if you mean multilingualism, she's like, then that's not the Latina thing. That's a 21st century thing.
Yes.
Sit down, Laura Ingraham.
Right.
She also went on to say that she has never used Cortez, that she uses Cortez as her name. So that those are two different names,
mm-hmm.
and that the hyphenated last name is common in Latinx culture because sometimes the children take both parents' last names.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's Ocasio-Cortez.
So she, like always, brings all the girls to school, all the boys.
With facts.
She just is like, okay, I'm going to take 20 minutes out of my very, very busy day as a congresswoman who's trying to get shit done.
Saving the world.
To educate you numbskulls that can't quite understand that people are different from you. Or if it's not making sense to you, or if it's pissing you off that I'm saying my name that way, like, let me let you know why the problem is you
right.
and not me.
Right. What's his name? DiGenova then ended by saying, I'm sure she's going to love how I said my Italian name like that or whatever. The other part of that is, though, like the Ingram's comment about loving how it sounds, like that's about exotification. We've talked about that in relation to Cardi B and Miss Vanjie, yes, mm-hmm. on Drag Race, right? Where we get so either enamored by the accent because we think it's like exotic. And then we're also like the first, or not we, but like white folks will celebrate it in that context and then be the first to like criticize it.
Yeah.
And it's also like Laura Ingraham and this other dude, like you're criticizing someone who is multilingual.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's like Fox and Friends. Like, you know, we want to be the number one nation in the world, but we can't even do shit like speak more than one language, even though almost, you know, developed countries that are high ranking in the world are multilingual. Like that is celebrated everywhere else except for the United States.
Right.
So we're the weird ones, not you though, right?
Yeah.
It's a mess.
And also for them to call it the Latina thing. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I've had that happen too when people are like, ooh, I love how you say that.
Right.
Excuse me.
Or if I say it like pollo loco and they're like, oh.
I'm like, yes, baby,
and I'm like,
can I help you?
That's what it's called, dummy.
They're like, that reminds me, I think I talked about too before, in Santa Barbara, all the street names are Spanish names because colonization. but when you look for addresses like on Siri, she won't understand you unless you say that in like the English pronunciation right. of like.
Siri's a monilingual broad.
Yes. Anyway, we also have some good news, though. I mean, the good news was that AOC, as always, shut it down with the best way she knows how, and she's amazing, and we love her. And so, and she said AOC is fine, too, if you want to call her that instead.
Right.
But big news for late night TV, if you watch it, Lily Singh is a Indian-Canadian woman, openly bisexual and 30 years old, and she is the first woman on network TV to have her own late night show in 30 years. I think Joan Rivers was the last person back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And she is joining the NBC lineup. So it's Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, and Carson Daly's show was taken off the air. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's the 1:30 a.m. time slot. So like, you know, not a lot of folks are watching it at that time, but it's going to be called A Little Late with Lily Singh. And she's just, I mean, she's a YouTuber, I guess. That's how she got her claim to fame. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to have a queer woman of color on network TV in a genre that is dominated by straight white men. And she's young and she's like,
yeah,
cool.
I just want to make sure they're not like exploiting her, though, because I feel like YouTube is now a place where you can really market yourself and monetize like your talents.
Right.
On YouTube on your own with really no like third party or, you know, TV station that's going to tell you like what you can and cannot do.
Right.
And she has such a huge following already. And 1:30 a.m. slot is probably not the most watched time in network TV.
But if it picks up, start there and work your way down.
But we need to acknowledge also like who's really winning more from this.
Right.
I think it's great that they're like giving her a shot, but like.
But historically, when there's women on primetime or like on talk shows like that, like late night shows, they don't get the same. Because I know like right now, Busy Phillips has her own show and there's some other women on like other networks, but this is like NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I think Chelsea Handler was supposed to have her show, but like last minute she ended up going to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's hard for women to get those slots. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So we'll see how it goes. It doesn't premiere till the fall. So we're rooting for you, Lily. So some good news, right, in a sea of shit. Should we keep going?
Mm-hmm.
So this past week, Mike Subbottom, call me Daddy Pence.
Oh, my God.
And his wife hosted the Irish Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not pronouncing that right. And his partner, Matthew Barrett.
He's not gay, but his partner's gay.
For the Friends of Ireland breakfast. I don't even know what that is, but it happened this week.
Uh-huh. It's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
Girl, I don't know what that the Irish.
I know things. Anyway, so I guess they were here, or the Prime Minister was here last year for a different event that they had where Irish officials came to the U.S. But supposedly what happened, Pence told him that whenever he and his partner wanted to come back to the White House, that they had an open invitation.
Mm-hmm.
A few things here. One, Mike Pence, who is like the pinnacle of anti-LGBTQ legislation and who is in the seat of vice president in the White House,
uh-huh.
has a like notorious track record of supporting legislation that is anti-LGBT. One of those first ones being that as when he was governor of Indiana, he supported religious freedom legislation, which would have made LGBT discrimination legal, basing it on the basis of religion for folks living in Indiana, meaning that LGBT, that Christian or whatever businesses could discriminate on the basis of them being LGBT. The other part of this is that he also supported gay conversion therapy on his 2000 campaign website.
Yes.
Where he said institutions should provide assistance to those wanting to change their sexual behavior.
And he was like part of a conversation about electrocution therapy or whatever the hell that is.
Right.
So, I mean, that continued far into the Trump campaign as well.
For sure. So. But when my point of this is, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I think they're trying to show that, you know, despite his legislation, that he's somehow right. like okay with like this prime minister because he's open. He's one of the few openly gay leaders in the world.
Of the world.
But to me, it's also like we don't need no fucking middle of the road yeah. white gay celebration by this white. Administration. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Also, like, what is this prime minister doing by going? Like, you're not special by being this openly gay couple going to
a
Trump
White House.
Well,
they were really celebrating that about him. And I feel like Pence is the type that, like, when he shook his hand, he did that little thing where he got the hand, like the little finger, and he
rubbed
your
palm. The little gay signals.
Well, I don't know. I feel like
the cruising
cis men do that too, but it's like oh. that little like thing. I bet you he did that shit to them because, you know, he likes that.
That dirty. Well, never mind. So fuck Mike Pence, first of all.
Well, yeah,
but
forever.
Also, like, I'm not here for that prime minister either because I don't care if you're openly gay. Like, you're still a rich white man
yeah.
who is not really doing anything to challenge the fact that this vice president is anti-LGBT.
Yeah, Leo Voldemort. No one cares.
So this is just yeah. white gays up to white gay nonsensory.
Thank you for
once
being
again.
Basic again.
All right, last story before we
okay.
take a break.
So the whites are up in a tizzy.
Always.
Because Trump is going off. And I'm like so excited that he's talking shit about white people because that's when white people get so angry. But he's calling out John McCain. Like, may he rest in peace or whatever.
Or whatever.
But he basically called him out saying that... I don't even know why it's so hilarious to me, but he wants a thank you for his funeral. And he didn't receive a thank you for hosting John McCain's funeral.
Does he want a ghost to appear to him or what the fuck?
I don't, you know, they love the like ghost of Christmas past shit.
Jesus.
Why people be doing that? But I feel like he went off for a good solid like 2 weeks, maybe dropping little shit bombs about John McCain, and mm-hmm. now he's like full blown just going off the rails. Like, I never liked him. He's a terrible man. He probably wasn't even really a prisoner of war.
Oh, God.
Like, just some wild shit. And I don't care about John McCain either, right? But I'm like, damn, like, y'all were really going against like America's like epitome war hero.
Right. Whites will throw anyone under the bus, including other whites, if they have to.
Right. Because he didn't like Donald Trump.
Right.
So he's like, oh, you don't like me, so fuck you. But he also was like a warmonger, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm like, let's all just have many seats.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because I saw a lot of folks, I saw a meme on Facebook where it had like this picture of John McCain, like him with like a white background, just like standing.
Uh-huh.
And then like a picture of Donald Trump standing right next to him, but being like a foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like he's the bigger man.
Right.
But I'm like, this is not a time for anyone to celebrate John McCain either.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
no. And then I'm going to need his Old Navy ass daughter, Meghan McCain, to relax, because she's continuously talking about her dad is a great man or was a great man. And he's the epitome of what American is.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, you don't even realize how harmful what you're saying is.
Right.
Because he, you know, was pro killing like most everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole prisoner of war thing, like, whatever. He came back, cheated on his wife, like, did all kinds of stuff. He gave up a lot of information while he was being tortured. And that's a whole nother conversation. But I'm like, you need to chill, because he was a human being. He was a white human being. He was a white male who did a lot of crazy shit in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But even Obama stands up and like celebrates his ass.
Yeah.
Just like George Bush. Like, they're all a mess. They're all a mess. So the reason why I bring this up is because it's like the juxtaposition, right, of having such a heinous thing. We're going to get into it in a little bit, like with our special guest today. But this heinous situation that happened, this terror attack in New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
Having what Trump is saying about, you know, John McCain be the most important thing that everybody is talking about instead of like the his response to what happened in New Zealand, or like having all these documentaries popping out this past week about like all these white people who are disappointed that they voted for Donald Trump. I'm like, nobody fucking cares. No. I'm like, we've been telling you that he's trash. You're trash. Like, no one wants a documentary about you trash crying over more trash.
Right.
And the fact that it's centered on everything, on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, ABC, everybody is talking about Trump's opinion of John McCain instead of what the fuck's happening around the world.
Right.
And that is America. And that is like literally indicative of why Trump gets away with half the shit he does, because as good people as we want to say we are as Americans, like our heart is still in the fucked up ass place that everyone's celebrating John McCain. No one cares, bro. Like, right. I'm sorry. May he rest in peace. But no one is talking about in the same conversation all the damage he did as a leader as well.
Right. And I think that's something that Republicans of, including POC Republicans, right, who like want to make some distinction between people like McCain and Trump, or like Bush and Trump.
Yes.
As if either to sanitize or pacify those like Bush and McCain.
Right.
Or to like, you know what I mean? As if like they don't all stand for the same shit, just at, you know, different ways of expressing it.
Exactly.
And to somehow like try to make them seem like less vile just because this other one is like so blatantly vile. You know what I mean? And so loud about it.
Right.
Like, this is why I think it's also like the Republicans trying to salvage any last like good image of the Republican Party.
Right. And just like a couple more things, like Cindy, his wife, I know her, I call her by her first name. She was posting like what she's been getting bullied online about after Trump said that he hates John McCain. Now everyone hates John McCain too, or his Trump supporters, whatever. God. And so it's like a whole thing. They're asking Melania Trump now to come out and like talk to her husband about her anti-bullying campaign. And I'm like, is this a fucking joke? Like, is this a fucking joke? Like, Meghan McCain's out there like, we don't need to make America great again because America was always great. And I'm like, this is like, no, it's just a mind fuckery of having to like witness this is like re-traumatizing everybody who is seeing what is happening around the world, who is feeling what is happening, what's around the world in this moment. Having to watch like white people cry on other white people's shoulders about something another white person said. Nobody cares, bruh. Like, if I have to see that shit one more time, I swear to God, I'm gonna write a letter to The View.
Right. Well, even like the Pence story too, right? No one gives a fuck that Pence is having breakfast with a gay couple, like in the context of New Zealand, in the context of everything else that's happening. They're pitiful attempts at trying to distract from like the larger stories.
Yes.
So fuck John McCain, fuck Donald Trump, and fuck Mike Pence.
I mean, the man is dead.
I don't, girl.
No, but I mean, like, that just felt
I was looking at the screen and I was going to say Mike Pence, but John came out. So, you know.
I thought you were going to say fuck Mobb Deep, fuck Biggie, fuck Bad Boy as a staff, as a record label, and as a crew.
No.
All right. So we are going to come back in just a second with our special guest. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
And we're back with Café con Chisme. We are so excited today because we have another guest. She is not unfamiliar to the show. She was on the show last year when we had an episode talking about when Latinx meets Swana. It was a really great episode. So we're going to welcome Medina Wardak.
Hi, guys.
Hi, boo. Hello.
Insert clapping track.
I know. We had the little sounds. Medina, you know, obviously we've talked on the show before. Activist around Muslim rights in LA, doing a bunch of work.
Right.
Given the light of what happened in Christchurch, New Zealand this past week, we thought, you know, if you're feeling up to it, come and speak on it. Come and share your perspective as a Afghan American woman, Muslim woman. So maybe we should just start with like, how are you doing in the like preceding or, you know, following days after the attack?
Yeah, so I actually saw it Thursday night pop up on my social media. And because we're desensitized to these things, I just like looked at it and then went about my way because it was like late. And then Friday in the morning, so I work evening shifts. So I'm like awake AM hours, just kind of chilling. And I'm a social worker, right? So I need to go into work with my emotions checked. And that didn't happen on Friday. So on Friday, like, I'm scrolling through social media, and predominantly I have Muslims and Afghans on social media. And so I'm seeing, like, not only am I seeing the headlines, and not only am I understanding, or not understanding, like, shocked into what's happening, mm-hmm. but I'm also seeing the responses from my community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was still on autopilot getting ready to go to work and stuff. And then as soon as I got in the car, I hopped on my Instagram to just kind of share my perspective on my Instagram story. And then I just started bawling, you know, while I was recording. Mm-hmm. And I ended up posting that. And the rest of the day, I was in and out of crying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult because I'm the only Muslim at my job. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful space. It's predominantly POC, but I'm the only Muslim person there. And I was feeling like I wanted to break down, but because I subconsciously felt like the humanity of Muslims is constantly overlooked, mm-hmm. I didn't know if I could do that in that space. Mm-hmm. And so I held it in, much like we usually do. Mm-hmm. I remember a while ago there was an attack in Afghanistan and like 300 people had died, and the same thing, I went into work and I held it in, because I think at some level as Muslim Americans, it's been in the media and stuff, we're seen as inherently violent, mm-hmm. and inherently fanatic, and so we're supposed to be used to these things,
right?
And then so when we're supposed to be used to those things, then we become used to staying silent about it. Yeah. So that's how I felt. And then Saturday night, there was a really healing event. So these days it's Persian New Year, it's mm-hmm. Nowruz, and a lot of communities celebrate it. So Afghans celebrate it too. There was an event on Saturday night that I went to, or that I or helped organize. It's called Disco Stand, and it's in LA every month. It's a safe space for SWANA, right? Mm-hmm. So Southwest Asian, North African. And it was already planned that we were going to perform a dance for the new year. And so this was going to be a celebration of the new year. What it turned into was like a healing space. And wow. So I was able to dance this dance that my ancestors have done for 6,000 years. Mm. And it really like was an essential part of me being okay the next couple days and today.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Just like an example of how important community is, mm-hmm. and how important it is to check in with folks, even yeah. if you don't understand what's going on, like yeah. make space for them to be able to like share their emotions yeah. with you. Right.
Absolutely.
So again, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
After something like this, mm-hmm. you know, like, and we are very grateful that you're able to share, or are willing to share your right. perspective with us today.
Yeah.
We kind of also wanted to talk a little bit about like, not so much like the actual, you know, act, mm-hmm. but like afterwards, sure. right? Like how it's being like framed, how yes. people are responding to it,
yes.
how people are not responding to it.
Right, right. So when I think about this, I think about, I'm going to frame it in the context first of like America, right? So when we're thinking America, like what is seen as American culture, the norm is like white cishet males, right? Mm-hmm. And white culture. So anything that is outside of that is seen as other. And whenever I think about like when we're thinking of who's valuable, it's like the white man is at the top, right? And then there's like a whole scheme.
Yeah.
So Muslims come from war-torn countries and they're supposed to be used to this. So that's going to reflect in the media coverage, and that's going to reflect in the response. So when I go onto social media, I am seeing responses from my community. Mm. I'm not seeing responses from my white friends. Like, it's very rare. And I called it out. I called it out on my Facebook. I called it out on my Instagram. And still, it's like complacency, right? sorry. So in terms of that, like, on a personal level, friends-wise, I'm disappointed. On a media level, I'm disappointed. Also, at the same time, I've, like, really tuned out of the media, and I'm more on like social media platforms because I would rather hear what the people have to say than like what fucking news conglomerates have to say, right?
Yeah.
So with that being said, I was reading somewhere that when a terror attack is carried out by a Muslim, it's like it's 357% more likely to be broadcasted on the media.
God damn.
Right? So, and then I'm thinking about the Muslim community. There's 1.8 billion of us across the globe. It's the fastest growing religion. It is, it's going to surpass Christianity on a global scale by the end of the century. And it's going to pass, surpass Judaism in America. We are not the other. We're not. And I don't even like to talk about how long Muslims have been in America because I despise the colonial history of this place. But Muslims were on slave ships. Muslims were coming on ships with colonizers, you know, to navigate the country. And because, unfortunately, so much of what we learn is centered on the white man, everything outside of that, including the humanity of people when they fucking die in their places of worship, it's seen at, like, your tears are even seen as charity. Like, it's charitable that my friends are crying, my non-Muslim friends.
Right.
You know, like, and not to take away the value of that, because at the same time, on my social media, when non-Muslim people were reaching out, it really meant a lot because I'm used to a post 9/11 America where my friends don't reach out. So now when they are reaching out, it means a lot. And emotionally, it was a lot. But at the same time, I was at a place Friday, right when I saw it happen. I was at a place where I was like, fuck everyone who's not Muslim because you don't understand.
Right.
And this is outrageous to you because it happened in a white country and because it happened in a mosque at a white country. And so now you guys are going to feel bad. But this has been happening in occupied Palestine. This has been happening in Afghanistan. This has been happening in Iraq. And because those lands are seen as, they're more seen as land than people living on that land.
Right.
People having lives on that land. They've always been framed as war zones. I don't want to say anymore that I'm from a war zone. And when I say that I'm from a war zone, I don't want you to think that I expect these things.
Right.
Because it's just as painful as anyone else. Mm-hmm. And the first thought that I had was like, je suis, you know, Charlie Hebdo and like what happened in Paris. Mm-hmm. And like, what was it? I don't even remember. I think it was 30 people maybe that died in Paris at the terrorist attacks.
Something
or whatever.
Like that, yeah.
300, 400 people are dying all the time in Afghanistan and in Pakistan and all these places. So as a Muslim American, this is everything that comes up, you know, where it's like, if you are going to truly, truly say that you want to dismantle white supremacy, what are you going to do about the Middle East? What are you going to do about the army presence there? What are you going to do about the Israeli occupation? What are you going to do? Like, I need to understand because it shows that, and this is like me speaking generally to white people and Americans right now, where it's like, okay, I see your tears. I see that you're reaching out to me and you're commenting and you're showing solidarity to my community. And clearly this has impacted you on a level because the media portrayed it. They've done a better job portraying this. Mm-hmm. New Zealand has done an excellent job. On March 22nd, the women of New Zealand, they're all going to be wearing hijabs.
Wow.
Yes. On Friday, because Friday is the day that we pray, on Friday, the New Zealand Public Radio is going to be broadcasting the call of prayer.
Wow.
Yes. And Jacinda Ardern, she's prime minister, right? Mm-hmm. So she has been doing an excellent job because, I mean, she's a great leader.
Right. Yeah, that's actually what we wanted to talk a little bit about too, right? Mm-hmm. In the wake, so just context again I'm sure folks who are listening have been following the news and what's going on, but the prime minister has actually come out pretty strong, right, in the support of gun reform, even though the guns that were brought in, that were used, were brought in illegally.
Yeah, so they weren't legal guns
in New Zealand.
In New Zealand.
Yeah.
But they were still used within New Zealand. Right. So like the ban, the argument on the other fucked up side is that it doesn't matter if you ban them because those weren't the guns that were used anyways. Mm-hmm. Or they were already not part of the ban.
Right.
But yeah, that is in itself is showing how much more like even women leaders, right, can connect on a like spiritually, like humanistic fucking place, right?
Yes.
And it's centering the Muslim community for the first time. Like, I've never witnessed anything like that in any other form. I mean, we obviously grew up in the United States, so we have a post-9, like, our growing up was after 9/11, right? Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, we don't see, this is like, beyond, and to be honest, like, that stuff is bare minimum human shit.
Right,
but for us, we're like, oh my God, I can't believe somebody's doing this shit, right?
Yes.
And that was kind of the thing too, because she, I mean, just the way she's handled it, like, she's not going to mention the shooter's name. And I don't want to mention
absolutely
that name
not.
Either, right?
Yeah.
She said he's a terrorist, he's a criminal, he's an extremist, but he will, when I speak, be nameless. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, that's how you shut down a white supremacist. That's how you shut that shit down, like, at the root, right? Like,
hell
no room
yeah.
for... she also talked about how, even though this person was coming from Australia, that kind of rhetoric is not uncommon. Like, that white supremacy is not uncommon in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it's not a New Zealand problem. It's a global problem, right? And we're talking about the shooter being, like, at the core promoting and carrying out violent acts in the name of white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I mean, the dehumanization of Muslim folks in the United States, I mean, we see that in every aspect of every avenue of, you know, without something like this terrible happening, like it's all day, every day.
Yes.
Like, we have Ilhan Omar that is being like crucified. And I use that term on purpose in the media to show like her support for Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
She never said anything anti-Semitic, right?
No.
But yet the conversation is still about how she hates Jews.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, we know and we can expect what I'm not even gonna like go into Trump's response to this, right?
Right, right.
But the fact that this monster named him in his manifesto is not an accident.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think he, you know, is the cause for this,
right?
But he has definitely opened the doors to making this type of shit just extra normalized.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I talk about in my class. Like, I'm teaching Intro to Ethnic Studies, and I'm like, when we talk about Trump and MAGA, like, I'm like, you need to separate, like, Trump as a person from what he's a symbol
what he's
of.
Spreading.
Yes. Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know what I mean? Because this is not about, it could be anyone else, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be Trump in this role.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important too, to, when we're talking about deciphering fake news and deciphering the messages that they're sending out in the media, to also not get ourselves distracted, like we're saying, right?
Yeah.
Earlier, the Mike Pence thing or the John McCain thing that become these like fodder for the TV shows, the networks. It doesn't have to, you know, I don't care if it's Trump. It could be George W. Bush.
Yes.
It could be Mike Pence. It could be,
for sure.
You know what I mean?
Been.
Right,
it has
exactly.
Been.
And so I think that's important too, to like, not personalize it with him being kind of like responsible, but just part of a larger problem.
Yes, and the scary thing is white supremacy has always been constant. It's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Now there is, it's okay to really act in those ways. And like, definitely since his presidency, we've seen a lot more anti-Semitic crimes and Islamophobic crimes. There's a rise in it because now like the common folk are now starting to like get up in arms and be like, well, if this guy's saying it, then I can do it.
Right.
But it's always been there systematically.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And it's always been there on like a larger scale. Right.
Yes.
And so that's why even like in the context of the New Zealand attacks, that's why there is still like silence from a lot of people because they're not white.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed too is like even the most progressive of the progressives, right? Muslim issues are never in the conversation ever.
No.
I'm like, y'all are talking about like rights for everything, right? You can make an argument up and down about like veganism.
Mm-hmm.
But when I bring up like, oh, you know, what about like our Muslim brothers and sisters? They're like, oh no, but like,
yeah, it becomes
like,
such a like taboo thing to talk about.
And I'm like, the internalization of this Puritan ideal that is fake and constructed completely by white supremacy is so woven deeply into the makeup of our country that we don't even realize how fucked up we're being. And we call ourselves progressive.
Yeah. And it's so brainwashed. Mm-hmm. You have a higher likelihood to be attacked by a white supremacist in this country than by a Muslim.
Yeah.
But then there's a Muslim ban.
Right.
And so all of this, right? You can put the facts in people's faces these days, and because like there's a cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
But I've been told for so long that it's this way.
Yeah.
And you're actually showing me facts that it's not. But because I'm comfortable in this space, I'm not gonna take your word for it.
And that's rhetoric and ideology. Mm-hmm. It has no logical sense.
No.
There can be, you know, somebody can beautifully, you know, display an argument against it and it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So like moving forward, that's why people made a big deal about the Muslim ban. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important for people to back people like Ilhan Omar. Mm-hmm. Like these little things that may seem small to people in retrospect, because nobody may be dying because of this is why things like this happen. Because it's like normalization doesn't happen from one day to another. The normalization of like the dehumanization of Muslim people happens with little instances like this.
Absolutely. Another thing that like just came to mind while you're speaking about this, because when I think about America and I think about the rhetoric that is around Muslims specifically at this time and like post 9/11, right? There's like 1.5 million Muslims right now in China being held in internment camps.
Oh, right.
What?
Yeah. There's like 1.5 million Muslims. They're an ethnic group called the Uyghurs, and they're Chinese Muslims. And they're being held in internment camps. Mm-hmm. And no one's talking about it.
God damn.
And like China being China,
right,
like, you know, having a lot of power over the internet and just
their
all
people.
like they just have a hand, such a strong hand, right? They've done a lot for the international community to be silent on this issue. And because they're pretty much a superpower as well, no one's saying anything.
Right.
But there's 1.5 million Muslims in internment camps in China and no one's talking about it.
Holy shit.
And so when we talk about the dehumanization of Muslims, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, and I don't want to sound any type of way, but we talk about the Holocaust and it's a disgusting atrocity.
Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about like, if I was there at that time, what would I have done?
Mm-hmm.
It's happening right now.
Yes.
It's happening right now and no one's doing anything. And it's happening at a time where we have social media and we can see things on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so it's even more in your face. And no one's doing anything. And so people are full of shit. Mm-hmm. And people just want to please, like, white men and their money. And like, it's unfathomable that we've come to this place.
Right.
And it just doesn't make any sense.
And not to, like, you know, divert from the conversation too much, but, like, the fact that you bring up the Holocaust, I was hearing a conversation where, like, they were making a point that Jewish people have no place in politics right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like they were saying that either they're anti-Palestine or the pro-Palestine conversation leaves them out completely or is anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so if they're pro-Palestine, then they're seen as like, you know, terrible human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But then if it, you know what I mean? So it's still centering them while something is happening in Palestine right now.
Yes.
It is not happening to the Jewish community.
Yes, exactly.
Like that is wild.
Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy. It's like really crazy. And it gets to a point where, you know, obviously as a person on a personal level, like I go to mosque, you know, I know what those moments looked like. At that time on a Friday, everyone's shoes are off. You take your shoes off and you leave them outside. You walk inside and like the main person who's leading the prayer is like standing at the front and everyone is like silent next to each other and their backs are turned. And so this shooter, this terrorist studied this and knew this and knew that this would be the most vulnerable time. He didn't show up when people were driving into the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up when it was time to start praying. And when you get in that trance. And when you get in that space and like, I'm going to start crying, like you're thinking about what is it today that I'm going to tell the universe that I want for the rest of my life? What am I going to say today to God? And then for that to happen to you, like your back is turned. You don't know who's entering. And like, it killed me because like when I was seeing it on social media, they kept talking about how the man that was standing outside of the mosque. Yeah. And he had said, "Salam, brother." He was from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Like he looked like my father. And like to know that your life is probably ending and to still speak in that way. You know, it's just like, and I'm like, really, I'm glad that like I know Huffington Post has done it and like a couple other media outlets where they've like posted pictures of the people and talked about who they were. And Khalid Beydoun is doing an amazing job. He's like, I think he's an Egyptian law professor. And he started this hashtag 50 lives where he profiles everybody. The youngest victim was 3 years old. Yeah. He's three. He's 3 years old. And these people had lives. These people had dreams. These people had like worries and things that they were stressed out about. Mm-hmm. And like for the white people, there was a white person among them, a white convert. You know, her name was Linda Armstrong. She was white. And she was Muslim.
Hi, Linda.
You know, and it's just, it gets to a point where I don't know, like if I'm sitting here in this country and I'm feeling this type of way, then, and I'm getting angry about it, mm-hmm. then I wonder about my counterparts in the Middle East who see this happening every day around them. Mm-hmm. And then we ask why they become radicalized. Then you ask that question.
I mean, yeah, this historically everybody knows. I mean, people that want to know.
Yeah.
Like U.S. intervention creates radicalization. Yeah, like this is not nothing. Like if you're listening now, please read it about it. Yeah. Right, like look into this shit. Mm-hmm. This is like this constant. We've been fed, if you grew up in the United States at least, you've been fed that this like radical Islamic terrorist is hiding around the corner, but no one talks about the white United States terrorist that's hiding around the corner in their country.
Literally hiding around.
Literally.
If there's, I mean, because we're getting close to the end, if there's some like a takeaway that you would, and I don't mean to put this like all on you as like a Muslim woman speak on the entire, you know, usually you said
1.8 right,
but I mean, from your perspective as like an activist, at least like in LA, like what is a takeaway that you would like to see for folks calling themselves allies or accomplices to like the Muslim community?
So I was thinking about this earlier, like before I got here, and I was like, I'm going to have a list. And it's going to be really proactive. And, and then like, honestly, like at the core of it, at least what's important for me is like really being an empathetic person. Mm. So the things that like were really helpful for me were my non-Muslim friends texting me and asking me how I was doing that day. Mm-hmm. And not saying anything else, like letting me speak. Mm-hmm. Also, like, social media is so powerful. So, honestly, like, the comments that I would get from New Zealanders, it was really nice. Mm. Oh, I got a lot of comments from New Zealanders who were like, this is not what our country stands for. Mm. And so I think, like, on a personal level, definitely the Muslims that are in your life and that you're close to and that obviously you believe that you, even if there is no comfort level, right? Just if there's a Muslim in your circle, you reach out to them and you check in. If there's a Muslim mosque in your neighborhood, it's not a mosque in your neighborhood. It is your neighborhood mosque, right? And so make those people feel welcome in your community. Mm. Okay, so that there's no reason why like it should be like, oh my God, that mosque on the corner.
Right.
So like if it's going to be community-based, making sure that like these people are feeling welcomed and vice versa. Also remembering that like a lot of Muslims in America, I think it's like 56%, are refugees and are immigrants. So they're already facing difficulties with assimilation. And then they come to this country to seek refuge. America goes and bombs there. And then they come over here and they seek refuge. And then a white supremacist kills them here.
Right.
How are you going to make these people feel comfortable? Mm. You make them feel comfortable. You're so scared of them. They're fucking terrified of you.
Right.
Mm. Oh, my God. When I went to Afghanistan, they're like, isn't there a lot of gun violence in America? They're like, aren't you scared? Because I used to be an intern at a school. I was a social work intern. Aren't you scared when you go to the schools? I'm like, holy shit.
You're like, damn, I should be more scared I should than be. I am.
Yeah, you know? So my point of saying all of that is like, they're people. Treat them like people. Right. Like, that's honestly it. So I think like personal level, check in with your Muslim friends. Like in a bigger level, look at New Zealand, right? So if we're talking about governments and if we're talking about like big political conglomerates, it would be doing things in solidarity. Mm. So the New Zealand response is excellent. Having the hijab day, playing the azan on the radio, showing that like, and also it sends a big message to white supremacists, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, we're not going to be complacent in what you guys are doing.
Right.
We are saying that these people are not these people in quotation marks anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is going to be mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And also just like asking questions, being curious. Like, of course, obviously you don't want to like make this person your token Muslim friend or whatever it is. But I will say I'm speaking for myself right now. A lot of times I don't speak about issues with my non-Muslim friends because I already feel some type of way. I'm scared. Mm. I feel like I'm going to be met with a lot of questions that are going to trigger me.
Mm.
And so I would just rather like just be the token Muslim friend and sometimes even join in like humor that's like, or like not humor, but sometimes I'll even turn myself into a caricature because it might be more comfortable.
Mm.
I remember when I was young and after September 11th happened, I would make jokes about like terrorists and all this stuff and da 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 because at least they're not making fun of me for being Muslim. We can all make fun of them together. You know, it's so sad.
Right.
I say all of this because like obviously if you're trying to make Muslim or if you're trying to be an ally, also know that these people are coming with a lot of their own trauma. And so you're not gonna be met with an embrace. Like some you know, it's just I don't know.
Solidarity can look a lot of different ways. So even if it's like solidarity by giving space, right? Like letting and not having to add or center yourself in those conversations, especially after an attack like this.
Yeah. Like, and unfortunately, of course, like I had a conversation with a white person about, you know, this whole thing after it happened and they were pretending that they were checking in on me, but then they centered themselves.
Oh, Lord.
And I was just like, fuck.
The caucasity
of it.
I can't.
Well, I think that might be a good place, if that's all right with you, to do the segment on the show that you all love. And we thought Medina would join us and have her own things that make us go, ugh, today. Yes. So here it goes.
Things that make us go, ugh.
All right. So we always love when we get to have our guests join us for this segment because I feel like we know each other's.
It's your favorite part of the show.
It is your favorite part of the show. And let's everyone just kind of vent, especially after the topics we've been talking about today.
Right.
But I'll get started. We'll save our guest for last.
Yes.
But this is actually one that I was going to say last week and I forgot. And then I remember after we finished recording and it's still been like on my mind. So this, and it's not like super serious. It is super serious to the environment.
Okay.
The super bloom. Have y'all been seeing these pictures?
Yes, they're so pretty. Yes.
The beautiful flowers, like just blossoming all over the hillsides, all over California.
All
because
over Instagram.
I know. Because the rain, and we've had really, you know, we're not in a drought anymore. So just things are blossoming. My allergies are booming. Mm-hmm. In any case.
Y'all with your nasal spray.
Yes, that Zyrtec is a lifesaver. Any case, there has been some articles come out. Because Instagrammers, social media influencers, the people who do anything for a picture, have been fucking ruining and stomping all over these beautiful flowers.
Oh
and
God.
I think they're poppies.
Doing it for the picture?
Yes.
Is that like our state flower?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
See, I told someone this and they said I was wrong.
Oh, well, I don't know for sure, but
it's the gold, the poppy, like the orange.
Is that what they are though?
I think so. I think the ones that we're seeing on Instagram.
Those orange ones aren't poppies.
Okay, so then if they are poppies, and I believe that's our California state flower. I'm going to take you back to fourth grade real quick.
I know, state capitals.
I'm like, don't ask me what our bird is, but I think it's the poppy.
Any case, you know, the fact that there's had to be like think pieces about like how to act at the flowers.
That's so sad.
And so I was in Idlewild a few weeks ago, and we were driving back. I think that's the 60. the freeway. I'm not sure. But all these cars were like pulling off the highway to go. And like mm-hmm. It looks like there are trails and paths that you can like climb up. But people were like crawling into mm-hmm. the flowers and just smashing them. Mm-hmm. And so like these are the same bitches who mm-hmm. will go up there and call you out for using straws and like forgetting your right. grocery bags at Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. First of all, fuck y'all. Mm-hmm. With your elitist shit. And these are the same people who will like post like, you know, go green and eco-friendly.
And I
like,
voted for Hillary.
Right.
Yeah, like, bitch, she's a war monger. Hello.
And you just Hello. Destroyed some beautiful flowers. Yeah. So, you know, like, I understand. We do things for the gram because we want right. to get that photo. Yeah. We want to make sure it looks right, the lighting, all that. But it should never be at the expense of killing nature.
I know. Yeah.
That's why we can't have nice things.
But, mm-hmm.
It's. We ruin everything.
Like literally, we just got out of a drought, a 10-year-long drought, yeah. and you bitches are out here mm-hmm. killing these beautiful flowers. How dare you? I'm so mad. I'm just getting mad thinking about it
She's
again.
Pissed.
Anyway, that's what made me go, ugh, this week and always.
Okay. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
My thing that makes me go, ugh, I feel like I need to like get that out
there. Loogie out?
No.
Oh, sorry. That guttural sound.
The gargle sound?
Is that guttural sound.
Oh. Yeah, so there's this whole thing about like people assuming your capabilities as a woman. And I've obviously talked about this a bunch of times in different aspects, whatever, whatever. I think I'm just fed up today. I'll probably be okay tomorrow. But right now in this moment, I feel like it's so much of like, you know, hypersexualization or whatever. But like, then that is also tied into like your capabilities and your intellectual and political stance on things. And I know I've talked about this before, but like now being involved in like more like local politics or things of that nature, I feel like people really want to have you as like a young person of color around because it makes them look hella good, but they mm-hmm. don't want to have your opinion on mm-hmm. anything. And also they want to make sure you're safe. And also, this isn't just men. So
oh, yeah.
just PSA out there, like women can also internalize misogyny and they can internalize patriarchy and hypermasculinity. I'm like, yeah. it's not a thing that is like only for men to perpetuate. So I think it's important, like if you have a woman in your space and you've been there maybe a couple years and you're someone's new, like welcome them, give them pointers, be a support system. Like you internalizing the process is only perpetuating the system further. Like mm-hmm. this whole idea of like I made it and I need to buy into the system of whatever it is in order to keep my place. Then what's the point of going into politics if you're mm-hmm. going to maintain the status quo? Mm-hmm. Like nobody has time for that. You're fucking a waste of breath. Like
snap, snap, yeah. snap.
Get out of the way with your polyester ass
ooh, ooh,
that
ooh.
Is ill-fitting.
That sounded pointed.
That is ill-fitting, okay?
Polyester don't breathe.
It doesn't breathe. It stretches, but it don't breathe.
It's gone.
So, yeah, I don't... This middle of the ground shit is for people that shop at Old Navy. Like,
She's just going into this.
I'm just tired. I'm tired.
Who are you talking about? Who is this person?
I'm so tired.
Just at
I'm
them.
So tired. Yes, like, I'm exhausted at people wanting to call themselves change makers or right. wanting to put themselves in positions that they yeah. are have been elected to be change makers, to make a difference in their community.
It's performative.
But holding a space and holding a title is more important than actually doing the work.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it's men, but there's women that buy into that shit too. Oh, yeah. And I don't have time for it. And if you want to hypersexualize me and make me feel like I'm too stupid or I look a certain way that I shouldn't right. have an opinion on that, but I'm really going to be on the ground doing the work and making right. a change, then get the fuck out the way.
Yeah.
Or we will remove you.
Yes.
That is all I have to say.
Yes. I love that one. That one hyped me up for mine.
Yeah.
Like, yes. The
yeah.
So this is what's on your mind, yes. Medina.
Yes. So things that make me go,
yes. I love that one.
Things that make me go, ugh. I'm really thinking about like mainstream culture makes me go, ugh.
Mm.
I'm sick and tired of people who are diverse as fuck having to like, even talk about them being diverse. Like,
oh.
I'm just sick and tired. Because, you know, I think a lot about, like, yeah, the New Zealand things and then just, like, me as a person and whatever, whatever. Nobody fits in fucking boxes.
Right.
I'm sick and tired of people trying to fit people in boxes.
Yes.
And And then I'm sick and tired of people being like, this is the only box that you can fit in. You know, like you have to be a white male to be able to do whatever the fuck you want in this country mm-hmm. and across the globe. And like diversity just has no space. And when it is given space, it has to be explained mm-hmm. and it has to be othered. And it has to be like something that's like, and now featuring, you know, and like, that's what I'm sick of, where it's just like, can we all just be who we want to be and not explain why we're trying to be this way? Like, right. can I just be?
Yeah.
Right.
Can I just be? And also the male gaze, because I have to fucking pay $60 a month at Total Women when I was just paying 24. I was paying at 24 Hour Fitness, I was paying $30. And so I have to pay $30 more out my goddamn pocket that is already, there's some loose change in there and that's it. And now I gotta go to Total Women because I can't have the motherfucking male gaze.
Hold on. What the fuck is Total Woman?
It is a gym. Totally for women.
No.
Yes, honey.
Shut up.
Yes.
That is a theme.
Y'all don't got that down in Whittier.
No, we got Planet Fitness. And I'm girl. Like,
girl.
Oh my God.
You need yes. to come on this side, Total Woman, honey. You could get facials.
Shut yes. up.
Is it like a better gym experience for you?
Oh my
you?
God. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And it's so cute because like so many Muslim women come in there because they don't have to wear their hijab.
Awesome.
It's so cute.
Oh my God. That. That's yeah. so dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't got that in Whittier.
No.
We have Planet Fitness, 24 Hour.
There
and
used
LA
to be,
Fitness.
What was that other one that was targeted for
Nifty
women?
Nifty After 50?
What? That's not what
our grandma
called.
Goes there.
I swear it's called no. Nifty After 50.
It's like 50. A senior citizen gym.
Yes.
Oh my yeah. God. Our grandma goes, our oh cousin takes her and she does yes. her little weights.
Oh my
yeah.
God. I don't know if that's adorable. Like the name though.
Right.
Like they really did that.
I yes. think they know their audience.
It, yeah. And they call it Nifty After 50, but they're all like after 75.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so
like
cute.
Way up. Yeah. There was... Curves, no? Wasn't that like for...
Wait, I hate you.
Wait, no, but that was like a woman... Like, it was marketed for women gym. Isn't that... Am I correct me
I
if I'm wrong.
Curves, was Curves a gym?
Or was it like a Jenny Craig kind of thing?
Yeah, it was a Jenny
okay,
Craig
I'm
thing.
Sorry. I don't know. I just remember seeing the sign and
yes,
being like, that's not for me.
Right. It's, yeah, no,
you're like,
totally.
Damn it. I'm not allowed.
Right. I do know that though, in East LA, I think there's a... QDPOC gym
okay.
for like different body types, for people of color, for
that's
queer and trans
dope.
Folks to feel yeah. comfortable to work out.
I love that.
And not, you know.
But that's fucked up that you have to pay an extra $30 yeah. to have like a safe experience
because yeah. oh, yeah.
everything it has been touched and like
and
tainted
is it,
by men.
Is it even a safe experience? Because what the hell happened that other... A couple months ago when that Florida guy went into a yoga studio with all women and he killed all those women.
Oh my gosh.
I swear to God. The other day I was walking to Total Woman. I was like, this is a motherfucking cesspool for misogynists. Like
yeah.
they know exactly where we're at.
Yo, oh for real God. Though.
Yeah. I was really thinking that.
And then we have to dial ourselves back into the space of we have to have men around us to feel safe.
Yes.
Oh
and
God.
Also at in danger.
Yes.
Right. So at the yeah. same time, like, can you stand by me but don't kill me?
Yeah.
Or like touch me inappropriately.
Yes.
Thank you, please.
Yes. Like just
also,
stand
I
over
love
there.
You and I hate you.
Exactly.
Also, I'm scared. God damn, I'm exhausted.
I know.
Actually, I'm getting sweaty.
I know. It gets, actually, it gets really hot in here. So.
I don't know if it's that or if it's just my frustration.
No.
Because when I get frustrated, I start to get hot.
Me too. Yeah. My armpits
the
are
blood's
sweaty.
Boiling.
And low-key, this lighting makes me feel like a rotisserie chicken. I'm like, I feel real lemon pepper today.
Yeah. Looking like appetizing in the window.
Yeah, right.
Like, please buy me.
Right.
All glazed in
I'm all spinning slowly. And
damn, now I'm hungry.
I know.
Me too, a little bit. I also just like really want to get plastered all of a sudden.
Right? We're like,
this is how we deal. You know what?
The world. Right. Okay, come on.
When people listen back 20 years from now, they're like, what was happening in 2019?
Right.
This is what was fucking happening.
Yeah, like, that's why we're archiving this experience.
Yes,
exactly. So my goddamn great-great-grandchildren can know what the fuck I went through as a first-generation Afghan Muslim woman
yes.
on Turtle Island, okay?
Come on, speak on that.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm trying to preserve this shit for you motherfuckers.
There you go.
You're ungrateful.
You're right.
They're not like, even in existence.
Yeah. No, I'm already mad at you.
Little assholes.
I'm already mad at you floating around. Floating around in somebody's balls. I need to stop coming off.
He's a little brat. You're all flaky.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. What has happened?
We have,
I don't know.
You know what?
We have enters the other dimension. Yeah.
It's so healing.
It's healing to laugh it out, to it's talk so shit, to vent. That's what that's the whole.
I was gonna make a dark joke right now. I'm like, we're not even gonna have kids because of global warming.
Well, I mean, yeah. That's true. That's some Handmaid's Tale shit. I'm telling you, that show.
Oh, I need to watch it.
I haven't started watching it.
It's a lot of anxiety causing, but. I just feel like it's important to watch because you see how, like, what's happening right now, like, tomorrow could be we're all put in, like, fucking camps and the women are taken to be, like,
it's baby too producers. I think it's too real for me to, and I'm, like, usually I'm okay with, like, super dark shit, but I don't know why I'm scared to watch that show.
Right. Because it's different if it's dark, but it's, like, something else. Like, right, like, I love Law & Order SVU, right? It's, like, dark, but it's, like, gritty and it's something else, right? But then, like, Handmaid's Tale is, like, what could be.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, like, oh, shit, I don't know if I want to, like, exist anymore right now.
Right. I'm like, I'll watch the Ted Bundy tapes.
Right. I don't want to. Because it like happened and it's done. Yeah. No, I totally get it.
But I'm like, oh my God, this could happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
For real.
No, definitely.
For real.
Yeah. There's a lot of, just to quickly throw this in there. As a Muslim woman, I'm expected to get married and have kids. And this is my PSA. I will not be doing that because the honeybees are going extinct. Okay, and the state of the world today. And
we don't need more humans on the planet.
For sure.
There are plenty of people on here already and kids without families.
All, yeah.
If that's what you're trying to do.
As like a Latina, that's the same shit.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with family that are like, if you don't start being nicer to men, you're going to end up alone.
Same.
And I'm like, not going to happen.
And in my case, they're like, no, we'd rather you not have kids. We can have a gay man having children, a family, or queer man.
Oh my God, that's person. So true. I didn't even think about that. Everyone's so fucked up. I'm tired of all of you.
Right? Yes.
Fucking breeders.
Back to being, all things that make us go up, people.
Yeah.
The world.
Yeah, breathing.
All right. Well, thank you, Medina, so much.
Thank you for having
for
me.
For joining us.
For being here, for sharing your truth, for being open. And I know in such a hostile time right now.
Thank you for having me. And it means a lot on a personal level. And I just think Latinx communities and, you know, this entire political situation right now is uniting us. And so I think that's important.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Would you like to share where folks could find your info?
Oh, yes, of course. Shameless plug. So on Instagram, it's at Burkas and Beer. And then the website is burkasandbeer.com. And I don't got Twitter yet, so wait for that.
Yeah. Same.
I run the Twitter account for the podcast and my personal one. I think folks are always like, hey, yas. And I'm all, hey.
You do? I didn't even
know. No, I send them to you first.
I have, like, no idea.
But I'm like, yes, someone's contacting you. Like,
right.
You I'm know. Like, I respond through screenshots. It's a mess.
It's like a, yeah. Anyway. For us, you know, cafeconchisma.com is the website, and that's the handle on all social media platforms on where to find us, on the interwebs. Anything else you got, Yaz, before we wrap up?
That is all. As always, like we like to say, love yourself, love your life.
And remember, you know more than you think you know.
Bye-bye.